equity is, it's a synonym for racism and white supremacy. I've been hearing more, my ear is more attuned to Biden's endless repetition of systemic racism. I mean, equity is the response to systemic racism. Equity means quotas. It means the destruction of meritocratic standards. It means you hire and promote on the basis of race, not on the basis of qualifications.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
And any institution which does not show a proportional number of blacks or Hispanics is thereby, by definition, systemically racist and engaged in bias. The Western tradition, which has been encyclopedic, it has been inclusive, it has taken in people from across the globe to put that, to denigrate it, and to teach students and adults to see it through the lens of oppression, which is just tragic, utterly tragic.
That's Heather McDonald. She's with the Manhattan Institute, describing what equity is, right? It's not equality anymore. It's equity. Everyone starts out, if you don't start out the same place, we'll bump you up because we got to all end up at the same place. We got to be fair. Nobody's going to come in first. We're all going to be equal. Equity. Kamala Harris has explained it in great detail. But I got an idea here for white California liberals. That's who we're talking to right now. You, the white California liberals that are pushing equity. How about becoming the quit in equity? If you're a woke white person who believes we need to overhaul society to be the first to show, please show your commitment. Step up to the plate. Knock one out for equity. Show your commitment to your own words. Believe it. Walk the walk. Talk the talk. Be the first to quit your job and open it up to somebody that's been systemically harmed by your position at your job. Start a movement. Who's going to raise their hand first? Wait, it's already been started for you. The pledge is already out there, so we don't even have to start a movement. The movement's already just started. So, California white liberals, follow me here, please. You now have, I'm helping out your cause, the Resign for Diversity campaign. It's already started, and it's kind of simple. If you're a woke white person, you can be the quit in equity. There was a column in 2017 issue of Yale News, and it instructed, I'm saying this has been out for a while, white students, take a few steps back. You already know when we enter white-dominated spaces, we take on the implicit role of leadership, expending invaluable emotion and intellectual labor. It's time we're given the title and power we deserve. Not meant to alarm you, but I probably want you to quit your job or at least take a demotion. That was an article back in 2017 and instructed white people to step up and step back right now. That's what it said. White people, step up, step back right now. So go ahead, step up and then step back and quit your job. I mean, that is truly 100% committed. Do the right thing, Joy Behar on The View. Do the right thing, Brianna at The B. Quit your white job. There's a, well, he's kind of a, I was going to say a conservative named Noah, and I've read his stuff, but he's kind of a moderate, but he said white people who believe their profession needs more diversity, give up your position to members of the underrepresented group. And if they think they can root conservatives out of the military, then we need to demand that more woke whites be rooted out of their systemic racist appointed positions, right? In reality, let me tell you about a man. A man who thinks that if you support conservative policies and America first and like don't believe in abortion, then you're an American extremist. Introducing Bishop Garrison, the man appointed by the Pentagon to lead the military for rooting out extremism. He said if you're one of 75 million people that voted for Trump, you're defining extremism for our military. It actually says that you are an extremist. So We have been purged in many areas to get rid of this systemic racism, but what I'm hearing out there is that we have people in position that they, you know, they're being blocked from moving up. So the idea for if you are a white liberal, especially here in California, I mean, you're promoting equity. Maybe you're in the maybe you're in education. Maybe you're in politics. It really doesn't matter where or what you're doing. You need to quit. You need to back the cause. And there is absolutely no way to coexist with this insanity. There's no middle ground. What's the middle ground? I mean, this whole man-made lockdown thing showed everybody. I mean, they were 100% willing to overlook the riots and the violence, right? I mean, they want total authority imposed on all of us. So they're going to get it with systemic racism, man. The equity. Listen to this little fourth grader talk about the equity survey that she had to fill out in the classroom. And as school gets, well, we don't know if it's, I'm waiting for another lockdown 5.0, right, with schools. I mean, hey, who knows? But anyhow, listen to what your kids are going to be facing. And you're going to actually have those in education. Kind of reminiscent of the Hitler Youth, right? Don't tell your parents you're part of the government youth program here. This is the equity survey, and they told these fourth graders not to tell their parents what the questions were. Listen to this little girl.
My name is Haley Asgard. I was in fourth grade at Riverview Intermediate School last year. During distance learning, I was asked to complete the equity survey. My teacher said that I could not skip any questions, even when I didn't understand. One question asked us what gentrify we identified with. I was very confused along with a lot of other classmates. A boy in my class asked my teacher if his mom could explain the question to him because even after the teacher explained it, he still didn't understand. My teacher told him that he was not allowed to ask his mom and that we could not repeat any of the questions to his parents. I want the school board to know how uncomfortable and nervous this made me. My mom always tells me I can tell her anything, but she also tells me I can trust my teachers too. Being asked to hide this from my mom made me feel very uncomfortable. I was doing something wrong.
Hide it from your mom, kiddos. Hide what this school district is teaching you from your parents, kiddos. You think this isn't real? There's a Texas group, a social justice activist called Dallas Justice Now. Here's what they're doing. They're urging wealthy white liberals to not send their kids to Ivy League schools. Why? Leave the spots open for students, as they say, from Black, Latinx, and other marginalized backgrounds. They're not just calling on it. Well, they are calling on the white liberals and anybody that support Black Lives Matter. Keep the slot open, man. They explained their reasoning. They said, we're dedicated to ending institutional racism, creating opportunities for the Black community in the segregated city of Dallas. Did you know Dallas was still segregated? I didn't know that. I guess it is. They're asking white liberals to make sacrifices to open up opportunities, specifically white allies being asked to sign a pledge. There's a pledge you can sign to commit to not sending your kids to Ivy League or any of the top 50 schools and leave the spots open for marginalized backgrounds. Oh, man. They're urging wealthy white liberals to sign the pledge. Here's the pledge. Ready? Would you sign this pledge? As a white person with privilege, both from my whiteness and my neighborhood, I recognize the need to make sacrifices for the purpose of correcting hundreds of years of murder, slavery, discrimination upon people of color. I commit that my children will not apply to attend any Ivy League school or U.S. News and World Report top 50 school so that position at that school is available for people of color. If I do not have children under 18, then I will commit to encouraging my white privileged friends, neighbors, and family members with children to sign the pledge and holding them accountable until they do so. What's going on, Jim? I don't know. Good steaks out here. Thanks for inviting us over. Yeah, I know you got a kid, a senior in high school. They going to be going to college? Yeah, we're actually looking into, I don't know, Yale, maybe Brown, Harvard. We've got some schools up there. Well, I tell you what, I got an idea, man. Why don't you send them to the community college here in town and leave that spot open for a kid of color? Are people really having conversations like this? Well, the ones that they want to have conversations like this, they're not going to have conversations like this. Ha! They're realizing now they're turning on them, right? Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, talking about that a few days ago. They never realize when socialist cultural Marxist revolutions overtake, they always come back for the elite. Now they're coming at them right now saying, we don't want your kids to get the best education. Because we know equity, right? Tell us, Kamala.
Kamala Harris.
Tell us, Kamala Harris, what's equity?
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. So if we're all getting the same amount, but you started out back there and I started out over here, we could get the same amount, but you're still gonna be that far back behind me. It's about giving people the resources and the support they need so that everyone can be on equal footing and then compete on equal footing. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
Hear the birds chirping? That's how life is. You hear the water. Isn't it beautiful? No, it never ends up like that, ever. Give me an example where it ends up with birds chirping and water flowing and everybody's equal and everybody's making cotton candy at home and happy, right? What's going on with new science? We got some new science. We got the CDC's got some new guidelines. Maybe you're not aware of since you, got back from lunch at work. Science changes that quick. We'll give you the latest next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Anybody watching the Olympics? I'm not watching the Olympics. Summer Olympics used to be more exciting to me. Well, I'd say as a teenager, though, the Winter Olympics, you know, with the hockey team winning in 1980 and all of that. I have Olympic memories. None recently. Boring. I'm not going to watch a woke basketball team out there with their social justice obsession. The U.S. Olympic men's basketball team got beaten by France, 76-83. U.S. team was up by 7 with under 4 minutes, and then the French came back with 14 points, shocked them on Sunday, 83-76 loss. And these are our NBA guys. Come on now. This is like, this is our dream team, right? I still have some of those plastic cups. I don't know where I got them, 7-Eleven or somewhere. Of the Dream Team in 92. You know, they were like the hologram cups, sturdy, and, you got Jordan, you got Robinson, you got Magic was on there, yeah. They didn't lose. Well, this was the team's first loss since 2004 in the Olympics. But, they're all into the woke nonsense. You got them kneeling for the anthem. You got Kevin Durant calling for Laura Ingraham on Fox, calling her a racist for telling LeBron James to shut up and dribble a few years ago. You know, your job's to play basketball. But no, that's not their job to play basketball. Their job is to be social justice warriors. We know that. Last year, NBA, I haven't watched an NBA game, haven't watched an NFL game, haven't watched a Major League Baseball game. But they allowed them last year to put, any social justice message on their uniform. And guess what happened? Game over. Go woke, no money to toke. Sorry, guys, go ahead. Rating collapse last year. NBA Finals dropped to the lowest in history. We've seen the stats on football. Their revenue's going down. Their ratings are going. It's affected everybody. Anybody that chooses to go down the whole social justice highway, anybody, doesn't matter whether it's CNN or Gillette, it has not been successful. So keep going at it. You had a dude on ESPN, William Roden. He says, he was on CBS, but he writes for ESPN. He said he couldn't enjoy watching the Team USA with the American flag at the opening ceremony, saying it was reminiscent of the Capitol rioters who waved flags. He said, I love the opening ceremonies, the March of the Countries. Then I realized, man, after these last 4 years, I had it wrong. Nationalism is not good. We've seen the rise of white nationalism. Nationalism is not good.
Incited the erection. Insurrection.
He said, when I see the flag and the flag raised, what What America am I living in? You know, there are the ones that don't think, you know, we should be here. So there he is. ESPN guy on CBS said there's Americans watching the Olympics and seeing black people and going, they shouldn't be here. What is this? Is this Owens in the Olympics in Berlin in 1936? Jesse Owens? I couldn't think of Jesse's version. Jesse Owens, right? That Hitler got showed up because a black man beat his Aryan race, right, around the track, right? Is that where you're wanting to take us back to, right? And it really was that. Here's a guy with a gold medal, Jesse Owens, in Berlin, up on the stage, national anthem playing. Then he comes back home to America, and he's a second, third-class citizen, right? Yeah, they had reasoning to be upset. And there are you take any time period. If you think the world's ever going to be perfect and nobody's going to be upset, but man, we got an onslaught of people being upset, right? Right? Yeah, this guy, this ESPN guy, actually saying that the flag reminds him of January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, and he can't even enjoy the Olympics. Yeah, the New York Times editorial board. I can't think of her first name, but I can remember her last name, Miss Gay. She said she found the presence of she went out to Long Island over the Memorial Day weekend, and she said, oh, it was disturbing to see the flag. I saw it in a pickup truck. I saw it in somebody's front yard. And, it's a deeply divided nation. She said it's a clue. I think that was her word. Yeah, she sees it as a clue to someone's political affiliation. Let me tell you, Miss Gay, yes. Yes, it is a clue. I agree. No, it's not a clue. It's a statement. I fly my flag. My neighbor to my right flies his. My neighbor to my left one over flies his. There's others up and down my block that fly theirs. And it is. It's a statement. It's a statement, Miss Gay in the New York Times, an ESPN anti-American reporter on CBS. It's a statement that I love my country. You got a problem with that?
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. Have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
Yeah, it was about 4.5 years ago. Did the Democrats come together as one united people, celebrate the good economy, right? Did the Democrats say, hey, that's a good idea. We don't want criminals coming into our country, and we don't know who's criminal, and we don't know who's a sweet woman from Venezuela. So, yeah, we agree. We want to keep people safe. They didn't do any of that. Absolutely not. Called us deplorables, called us Neanderthals, even going to as far as saying, not as smart as I thought you were.
Will you require all federal employees to get vaccinated?
That's under consideration right now, but if you're not vaccinated, you're not nearly as smart as I thought you were.
Not nearly as smart as you thought he was. Well, coming from the guy that said his butt's been wiped.
Does immigration need to be in reconciliation? Must it be in reconciliation?
What must be what?
Immigration.
Did he say my butt's been wiped? That's what they're saying.
What must be what? 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 What must be what?
Well, what do the new CDC guidelines say? We got them going on right here, and it's going to become now. I'm hearing Cal State University stating you can't come on campus unless you've been vaccinated. What's that going to mean for sports? Locally, what's that going to mean for Fresno State sports? We'll talk about that, and let's talk about Larry Elder next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
He wants to be the next governor. Kevin Kiley, Assemblyman, will be on the show tomorrow. Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims on the show Thursday. But right now, it seems like it should already be Thursday, doesn't it?
Thank you all so much.
It's not. It's a Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday, where the science changed since you just went back to work at lunch, now a few hours later.
The CDC is now recommending that even fully vaccinated individuals wear masks in indoor public spaces when they're in communities with high transmission rates. Now, in theory, this could impact more than 63% of the country, 63% of the country reporting high or substantial rates of transmission. Federal health officials say the Delta variant changes everything because it behaves differently than previous variants of the coronavirus. It behaves in ways that concern federal health officials enough to change their guidance on masking.
Oh, yeah. Cal State University required on campus. Doesn't matter if you've already had the antibody, if you've already had the virus. You need to tack some mRNA in there as well. Take an experimental jab. Doesn't matter if you're pregnant as well either, because we haven't tested it on pregnant people. But take it, and then we'll test it. Like Nancy Pelosi. Let's pass it, then we'll go read it. I mean, why would they be any different, right?
The public health leaders in our administration have made the determination based on data that that is a way to make sure they're protected, their loved ones are protected, and that's an extra step given the transmissibility of the virus.
Hey, don't say we weren't warned.
When this pandemic ends, and it will end soon, we're not going to go back to normal.
We still largely are in a pandemic of the unvaccinated. The vast majority of transmission, the vast majority of severe disease, hospitalization, and death is almost exclusively happening among unvaccinated people.
That's Dr. Rochelle Walensky of the CDC talking about the unvaccinated. They're not going to stop. We already hear that. And now we have Governor Newsom, right? He's, what's his rebuilding or California rebuilding tour, whatever he was on MSNBC talking about. Listen here.
Those 25% that have remained unvaccinated, what do you attribute that to in your state?
Well, overwhelming majority of misinformation by right-wing pundits, period, full stop. Time to be a little bit more specific. Let's call it out. There's been a right-wing talking point here. And it's overwhelmingly coming from certain networks, and it's having an impact on getting this disease behind us. Now it's impacting our economy. It's impacting not just our public health. It's impacting our ability to get our kids into schools. So enough. And including, by the way, the folks that are behind this damn recall in California.
Enough. Our kids in school. Dude, you had the chance last year to put the kids in school. You're campaigning against yourself. Oh, it's the new Newsom, right? And it's a Republican. He sounds like Hillary Clinton. It's a vast right-wing conspiracy, right?
These are the exact same people describing mass covering to the equivalency of the Holocaust. It's the same folks. And so, look, you're right. Those things are connected, at least in this state. But more importantly, we're connected as a country.
Guys, but he's not making sense. He's starting to sound like Biden. What's he talking about? Holocaust?
But listen. Enough. And including, by the way, the folks that are behind this damn recall in California. These are the exact same people describing mass covering to the equivalency of the Holocaust. It's the same folks. And so, look, you're right. Those things are connected, at least in this state. But more importantly, we're connected as a country by this misinformation, and we've got to call it out.
Oh, boy, he's really calling out the misinformation, is he not? Let me tell you a little bit about misinformation. Remember the PCR test? We were all over Fresno County, Dr. Vara, about how many times they were cycling that, and was it giving false positives? Well, lo and behold, CDC is going to withdraw the request of the FDA for emergency use authorization of the real-time PCR test. Withdrawing it. They're recommending labs need to test transition to a test that can tell the difference between COVID and the flu. They're admitting to it. They're admitting last fall and winter, lockdown 2.0, that flu was just grouped right in with it. And they want us to believe them now. You know, that test was designed by a German, and it didn't have any virus material available. None at all. It was a computer program that was actually written, and you had 22 international scientists actually on December 3rd of 2020. The article is in my hand, the PCR Foundation paper. They demanded withdrawal of this test because of, what they're now admitting, that they were wrong. The PCR test that got everybody all last summer. Cases got us locked back down right after Thanksgiving last year. It was the PCR test. The inventor of the PCR test. He actually described, his name is Christian Drusten, Drusten. Look him up and see what he's talking about. He's the inventor of the PCR test. He was clear from the very start. He said this was not a test for anything except molecular detection, especially not a viral infection or prediction of whether you will get sick. Now, CDC urging labs to get rid of that test and get a test that can test for coronavirus and the flu. Failed. Full review. PCR test for the emergency youth authorization has been revoked. We sent a letter to Fresno County Health, Dr. Vora. They got back and said, we have received and we will get back to you when we have some information. Because I want to know how many people were tested right here in Fresno County with this test. And how many of these false positives, this false information led to their decision making. They need to answer these kinds of things. You would think maybe the Board of Supervisors might be asking these kind of questions because it is your doctor, right? I wonder if they've had a conversation about this. Probably not.
People aren't regulated.
Yeah, we know that. And we also know that the lies are out there.
I value and respect all of you.
He's gone, man. I hope he's out of office. We know that it looked like Larry Elder was not going to be able to get into the race, and we know that because we now realize they're fearful of him, I would say, more than any other candidate right now on this recall election. And the judge ruled that Elder allegedly, the rule that he violated, do you know it didn't even apply to a recall election? All of that was just hot air. And even if it did apply to a recall election, Larry Elder completed what he needed to complete. That's what the judge said. Doesn't that just go to show how petty they are? How actually afraid of having anybody that could actually really get them going? And as we've seen, there's a lot of people on this ballot here that could really get them going. But Larry Elder has name recognition. He has a whole lot of charisma. We know that. We know that about the man, and we've seen the law that they used on Larry Elder with all the tax returns, Governor Brown vetoed that, but Newsom put it in over the whole Trump campaign, right? But he got around that. For those of you that might not know who Larry Elder is, he grew up in South Central L.A., graduated from Crenshaw High School in 1970. He earned his bachelor's degree in political science from Brown University, doctorate from the University of Michigan Law School, founded his own executive search firm before getting into TV and his radio career. And what we've seen happen is that people don't realize that this guy, he could actually talk to a lot of Democrats and independents in this state right now. And I think that's why they're kind of freaking out about Mr. Elder getting in the race. Let's see right here. Carl DeMaio, he works for iHeart down in San Diego, talk show host. Former, he was city council down in San Diego. He's been talking about Larry Elder. He said he could win the top spot. According to all the analytics and polling numbers I've been looking at, the election were held today, he's in a good spot. He said, as a conservative, he excites the base. He gets all kind of people willing to knock on doors, make phone calls for him. DeMaio said, as a veteran broadcaster, he's good on his feet and he's a very effective communicator.
But the more I looked at it, the more I saw how arrogantly this governor has handled the pandemic, imposing the most strict coronavirus lockdowns of any of the 50 states while violating them at that French restaurant with the very people that set down the mandates, while his own kids still enjoyed in-school private education, while his own business, that winery, was exempted from the mandates. Something has to happen.
Well, are we going to have a debate? Do you think Newsom would debate Larry Elder? Do you think Newsom would debate John Cox and Kevin Faulkner and Kevin Kiley and Doug O? Do you see them all sitting around? Well, Neither Newsom nor Larry Elder are going to be on stage for the first gubernatorial debate. It's set for next week. It's going to be at the Richard Nixon Presidential Library in Yorba Linda, hosted by Fox 11 down in L.A. Larry Elder's campaign said he will not be attending because he has a fundraiser in Bakersfield. He said they had committed to the debate date before it was set, so they're going to be there. Who is going to be there? Debate organizer said John Cox will be there. Kevin Faulkner will be there. Doug Ose and Kevin Kiley will take part of the debate. Newsom was invited. They said he didn't respond to the invite. He had bigger problems. His kid got caught at a day camp with his mask off, sitting around with other maskless kids, and the picture went out in French Laundry 2.0, right? There you go. Newsom's kid, you don't have to do it, but all the other kids, when they go to school, they gotta put on the germ-filled face diaper and not breathe, not hot. You know what? I said this, and I hadn't thought about it since the last time I said it. We need to get an expert in here with a kid and a mask on, and we need to see how much carbon dioxide they have. And if it's below, like, what Cal OSHA states that, you know, if you're a worker, a contract worker, you got to have so much every hour, right? Because there is a dangerous level to this. Trevor at powertalk967.com if you got one of those measuring things. And you got a kid that'll come in with a mask on. We gotta realize this. But, you know, the fundraising in Bakersfield for Larry Elder, his campaign in full transparency, which you like to see, right? They questioned the need for a showdown, a debate that did not include Governor Newsom. The Elder campaign said, quote, "It makes no sense to have a circular firing squad among GOP contenders where the only one who benefits is Gavin Newsom." This is a statement from the Elder campaign. Said Larry would be happy to debate Gavin Newsom. Because you think about it, yeah, you'll have, what, five Republicans sitting around trying to, well, no, you're wrong. So that's how it would come out, is look at all these. You know, they're not going to say, well, yeah, you're right. You're right. You never hear that in a debate, right? It's always I'm wrong or I'm right and you're wrong. And that's what a debate is by the name debate. So keep in mind the most important thing. You will be asked two questions on the recall ballot. First, whether Newsom should be removed from office. If you say no, you were probably dropped on your head as an infant. If more than 50% support removing Newsom, the second question would be a list of candidates running to replace the governor. Newsom said, excuse me. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Larry Elder said, "I've got the power to declare a statewide emergency if elected governor." Because, see, the thing about it is, you know, there's so many Democrats. What's a Republican governor going to do in Sacramento? Elder said, "I can do that on crime," meaning if elected, he can declare a statewide emergency. "I can do that on homelessness. I can do that on education. I have the veto power. I have a line item veto. I have the power to appoint people to these various commissions that are shoving down all these rules and regulations down the throat of Californians." He said, "They're afraid that I'm able to talk to independents, Democrats, to blacks, to Hispanics in a way no Republican ever really has." He said, "I'm a product of public schools. I know how bad they are." He said a lot of Republicans in the past haven't done that. They're afraid of that. He said, "That's not what's going on here. It's not racism. It's fascism." Good to hear Elder supports school choice. That is so true. Can you imagine walking up to anybody in California, knocking at their front door? I don't care if you're red, brown, yellow, black, and white. I don't care what political affiliation that you are. If you say to that person, a parent at the door, "Do you want your kids to keep going to the public school that they're going to? Or would you like the state to give you $14,000 for each of your kids that go into an account that you as a parent could decide then how you want to spend that money on your kids' education? And if you don't spend it all in 1 year, it'll go into an account to save for their college." They got to get that message out there. And the message needs to be, when that message gets out there, that Governor Newsom and any Democrat out there in this state are against that.
This day in history, July 27th, 2020.
1 year ago. What were we talking about 1 year ago? I bet you can guess. We had cities on fire and we were on lockdown. We'll go back and listen next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, let's go back and listen to this day in history, July 27th, 2020. What were we saying on the show 1 year ago today? Let's hear it. Riots across America as I watch Better Call Saul for 48 hours. Riots took place in Democratic-run cities Saturday. Yeah, Black Lives Matter back out. Of course, they're Marxists. Marxism does not stop until Marxism is implemented. Antifa, what does that really mean? Anti-fascism? They're the fascists out on the streets. And the new movement is called In Solidarity With. So you can have a riot in any town, any hamlet, any village, and you're in solidarity with night, what is it, 60 now in Portland. Oh, welcome to day 133 of the 15 days to flatten the curve order. We'll get to that more later. But yeah, on the other count, I think it's 59th, 60th day of these riots in Portland. And they happened all over, man. Happened in Atlanta.
Starting to get a better idea of the extent of this damage. We're just now seeing for the first time graffiti actually across the street from the ICE field office on this what appears to be a vacant building here. One of the slogans, no cops, no ICE, no borders. That graffiti extends into the roadway, Ted Turner Drive.
Well, that was a year ago. Right now, this is from a year ago.
The latest CDC guidance says that COVID-19 death rates among school-aged children are much lower than among adults. The agency also said that the in-person school environment provides educational instruction, supports the development of social and emotional skills, creates a safe environment for learning, addresses nutritional needs, and facilitates physical activity.
We were talking about CDC guidance on schools a year ago today.
Would you let your kids go back to school?
I will. My kids are looking forward to it.
Yes, period. Absolutely.
Absolutely. As much as I can.
Without a hesitation.
Without a hesitation, yes.
I have no concerns about sending my child to school in the fall.
No, those were experts last year on NBC News talking about it. Yeah, America was on fire a year ago.
Starting to get a better idea of the extent of this damage. We're just now seeing for the first time graffiti actually across the street from the ICE field office on this what appears to be a vacant building here. One of the slogans, no cops, no ICE, no borders. That graffiti extends...
They're still doing that, aren't they? Here was Governor Newsom a year ago talking about, cases. The exact same thing here in the Central Valley.
We're here talking today about the Central Valley. 8 counties that have our effective rates north of 1%. We have 8 counties where we're seeing an increase of infections. We have positivity rates in the Central Valley on the low end of 10.7% in Fresno, Tulare, and Stanislaus. On the higher end, 17.7% positivity rates.
A year ago today, I had Dr. Kelly Victory on the show.
The numbers have been very deceiving. The virus is real, the statistics are not. And here's why I say that. Let's start just with the number you hear most commonly reported. In fact, you know, people are getting bashed over the head with it on a not only day-to-day, but an hour-to-hour basis, is the number of cases.
And we're still talking about the number of cases. But now we got a Delta variant. Is it still 0.005? I mean, these are the numbers. Anytime you hear fear, know that it's 0.0 something is what they are actually discussing. And the number one thing that we need to keep right in front of us, 0 to 14 survival rate, 99.9998. 15 to 44, survival, 99.9931. 45 to 64, survival, 99.9294. 65 to 85, survival, 99.629. Over 85, survival, 98.24. Focus on that, and then everything else sounds ridiculous. Thank you to Agent Squires. God willing, we will do it again tomorrow at 3. John Girardi, he's next. Good night.